Today on Annenberg Radio News.
How can you even begin entertaining the discussion of spending $5 billion on the Wilshire subway while at the same time saying we don't have enough money to make this line safe when it's going directly adjacent to schools?
The Exposition Metro line is under construction. It's underground near USC, but above ground near Dorsey High School in Crenshaw. And that has residents seeing red. Good afternoon and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, October 18th. I'm Tom Sparks. LA Live officially opens its doors tonight. The Nokia Theater premieres with the Eagles and the Dixie Chicks. It is only phase one of a $2.5 billion effort to bring more of a nightlife to downtown Los Angeles. A state-of-the-art broadcast center for ESPN opens next year, along with a bowling alley and restaurants. And by the end of 2009, LA Live developers plan to open a 54-story high-rise hotel and a 14-screen Cineplex. We're 4 hours away from tonight's concert, and our own Patrick Becker is live at the scene. Patrick, what's happening?
Hey, thanks, Tom. Outside the theater, catering trucks are setting up for tonight's debut of the Nokia Theater at LA Live. The 7,000-seat theater is located right across the street from Staples Center and surrounded by several other LA Live venues still under construction as we speak. Now, inside the theater, crews are putting the finishing touches on a complex that not only looks new, but even smells new. And it's still about 4 hours to go before the Dixie Chicks and the Eagles take the stage tonight in the first of six shows here. But that certainly won't be the only big show held here at the Nokia Theater. The American Music Awards are scheduled for next month, and there's even word that the Primetime Emmys may move up the street from the Shrine Auditorium next year. Reporting live from LA Live in downtown, Patrick Becker, Annenberg Radio News.
Patrick, can we still get tickets to that show tonight?
Tom, you're in luck. I actually spoke with someone at the box office. There are about 40 tickets available, pretty much singles, but you're going to have to bring your checkbook and make sure you're not going to overdraw. They're about $265 a pop.
Whoa. I'll see you there.
Back to you.
Thanks so much, Patrick. Yes, friends, sir, of the environment, listen up. L.A. is going green by turning off the lights this weekend. Annie Chenefun tells us more.
This Saturday at 8 p.m., everyone in L.A. is being asked to turn off all non-essential lights for 1 hour. County Supervisor Yvonne Burke was downtown this afternoon to help kick off Lights Out L.A.
That 1 hour can save 15% of the energy that would be used during that entire day.
The program began in Sydney, Australia, where 2.2 million people turned off their lights. In that hour, the city saved 10% in electricity use. According to Councilwoman Wendy Gruhl, that was
equivalent to taking nearly 49,000 cars off the road for that 1 hour period of time.
Councilwoman Jan Perry says this is the first time LA is doing this.
We wanted to do something that was simple, direct, and under our control, which is basically turning the light switch off.
Hundreds of buildings throughout the county will be turning off their lights, such as City Hall, the pylons at LAX, Long Beach Courthouse, and UCLA. Supervisor Burke thinks this weekend will be a success.
I'm very hopeful. I think people love it. I think people are interested. I think it's something people can do, and it's something they would enjoy.
Remember, it's this Saturday, October 20th at 8 p.m. Annie Chenefun, Annenberg Radio News.
The West Side is getting more traffic help. Today, City Councilman Bill Rosendahl activated a signal in Brentwood, one of 30 new left-turn signals being installed around Los Angeles in 30 days, none of which are in the South Los Angeles neighborhood. But according to Councilman Bernard Park's office, that won't be the case for long. In the next 2 years, 14 intersections in South Los Angeles will get new left-turn lights. Those include Martin Luther King Boulevard, Western Avenue, and Florence and Normandy Avenues. Oil prices surpassed $90 a barrel for the first time today. It's the fifth in a day. It's the fifth day in a row. Crude prices have set a new record. All this despite the fact that the Energy Department said oil and gasoline supplies rose more than expected last week. According to LosAngelesGasPrices.com, the cheapest gas in our area is at the 76 station near Adams in Vermont and the Chevron station on Vermont between 22nd and 23rd Streets. Both are $3.05 a gallon. Children's Hospital Los Angeles held a blood drive today to help kids with sickle cell disease. Hannah Ingber-Wynn has the story.
Children's Hospital's blood drive was at the African American Firefighter Museum in South LA. Children's Hospital serves about 600 children with sickle cell, and many need regular blood transfusions. Patricia LeBlanc, a community recruiter for the hospital, says they have inherited more patients as the smaller hospitals in the area have gradually closed.
We're very happy to have them all come to us. The challenge is in getting the blood to treat them. That's the only thing that's holding us back, is having more blood that is a cross match for them. Hi, you here to donate?
LeBlanc says 90% of children who have sickle cell are black. They need blood donors who are a perfect match, and that often means someone from their own community. Children's Hospital is reaching out to the African-American communities in Los Angeles. They are trying to build a tradition of donating blood. If you want to donate blood to Children's Hospital, call 323-361-2441. Hannah Ingber Nguyen, Annenberg Radio News.
Later on Annenberg Radio News, author and Los Angeles expert DJ Waldy and I talk about how L.A. could affect the South L.A. area. The Expo Rail Line will connect downtown L.A. and Culver City. Construction has already begun, but a campaign to derail MTA's current transit plan is gaining momentum, Amanda Becker reports.
O'Shea Learning Center and Dorsey High School sit on Exposition Boulevard in South Los Angeles. The two schools are within 50 feet of the light rail track that will connect Culver City to downtown. The Dorsey Alumni Association held a meeting last night in the high school's auditorium to protest the Metropolitan Transit Authority's plan to build the rail at street level. Association Vice President Andrea Canty says the decision to build the track at street grade will put thousands of students in danger.
It's not safe for our students the way that the current Expo Rail line is proposed to go at grade, and we're especially concerned with the students crossing Exposition and Farmdale as they are entering school and leaving school on a daily basis.
Expo Metroline CEO Rick Thorpe came to the meeting to explain safety features like gates and crossing lights that will minimize danger to pedestrians. But Canty says when it comes to high school students, it won't be enough.
Students would still try and cross those roads, those rails lines, even though the crossing rail is coming down. So kids will be kids.
People ask why the MTA spent money to install track below street level near the USC campus, but not near Dorsey.
Students at USC are worth the safety. You can't put a dollar sign on the students at O'Shea and the students at Dorsey.
Expo activist Damian Goodman says he doesn't accept a lack of money as an explanation.
We're talking about spending $5 billion on a Wilshire subway. How can you even begin entertaining the discussion of spending $5 billion on a Wilshire subway while at the same time saying we don't have enough money to make this line safe when it's going directly adjacent to schools?
Dorsey Alumni Association President Steve Bagby fears the decision has less to do with money and more to do with the people who live in South L.A.
And I believe if the demographics and the population today were as they were in 1937, we'd be treated a lot more sensitively.
But the Expo Line's Rick Thorpe told residents the decision to go below street level at USC had nothing to do with money or race, but the number of people the station will handle day to day.
90,000 people getting out of an emptying out of a stadium like we have 2,000 here at Dorsey. It's like 90,000 on a Coliseum event like a USC football game.
To change the proposed plan, Thorpe says residents should appeal directly to the MTA.
You've got to listen to this community because the community is right. You are wrong. And one thing I want to say to you, please don't say to another audience, it's complicated. We are intelligent people. It is not complicated. It is simple and we understand it.
Damian Goodman says South Los Angeles would like to see a rail line built, but not at the expense of children's safety.
Build the project. Build it right, though. Extend the trench at USC through South LA communities directly adjacent to our schools. Build it to one of those temporary termini and use the organization that we're bringing together to help you find that additional funding to complete.
Goodman encouraged concerned residents to attend the upcoming administrative law hearing on MTA's same-grade rail plan at a meeting on November 5th. Amanda Becker, Annenberg Radio News.
Now back to our top story, opening night at the Nokia Theater in the new LA Live Center. LA Live had its groundbreaking ceremony yesterday, and it's hoped the new complex will bring long-needed revitalization to downtown Los Angeles. Jean-Luc Renault has the story.
In recent years, downtown Los Angeles has been regarded as, for lack of better words, seedy. Even with the addition of such high-profile developments like the Staples Center and the Disney Music Hall, nearby Skid Row still weighs heavily on people's perceptions of the area. Homelessness, drugs, and crime often come to mind. It's hoped the new Los Angeles Live complex will help make downtown a place people actually want to visit. The $2.5 billion megaplex includes a Nokia Theater, ESPN Studios, condos, restaurants, shops, and even a museum. But ask people along the Figueroa Corridor, south of downtown, what they think about the complex, and there's one resounding theme.
Offer more jobs, bringing jobs.
Find a job.
Creates more jobs, more people, you know, employed instead of out here robbing and stealing.
The massive center will no doubt create its fair share of jobs. It remains to be seen, however, if the development will be good for other areas of the city.
The development is going forward downtown with a great deal of public investment and political support.
Mark Williams is a board member with the Concerned Citizens of South Central Los Angeles.
And the history has been that that comes at the expense of people that live in South Los Angeles. My hope is that it will provide employment, do all the wonderful things that downtown development is supposed to do.
It's doubtful that the thousands of fans screaming for the Dixie Chicks at the opening concert tonight at the Nokia Theater will have urban economics on their minds. But if the rampant homelessness and gritty cityscape bothers them on their way out, then it's obvious such concerns are legitimate. Jean-Luc Renaud, Annenberg Radio News.
Earlier today, I spoke with DJ Waldy, L.A. expert. We discussed how L.A. Live will affect the Los Angeles community.
Oh, it's part of a transformation of downtown Los Angeles that's been underway for the last, oh, let's say 15 years, but gathering steam in the last six or seven. It's an element of downtown's revitalization. It isn't the only aspect, and perhaps in the long run, not the most important aspect, but downtowns and neighborhoods are made by a collection of developments and restorations of daily life, not by one single project.
Now, we're here in the USC area.
Right.
And according to a tentative plan by the TV Academy Board of Governors, they're considering a 10-year plan to move the Emmys from the Shrine to the new Nokia Theater located at America Live. Do you think that this new complex will be taking business away from further south downtown?
The new development will have an impact on patterns of how facilities are used and who uses them. My impression, however, is that there's sufficient momentum in the revitalization engine downtown to benefit neighborhoods further south of this project. No guarantees there, of course. There are uncertainties in the building environment, uncertainties in the economy that may make any prediction difficult to make. But I don't think that this is a zero-sum game and that changes and developments at one end of the block are not going to turn the other end of the block into a ghost town.
Do you think this will be good for local businesses, bring more people into the area, or bad for local businesses as there is shopping available there as well?
There's been a great deal of controversy over that topic, partly because of the extent of public investment in this development and because of the anxieties that some have, that this becomes kind of an island on the landscape. It's removed from the street life that might go on around it. Will this be a destination rather than part of a neighborhood? And that's always a concern that one should have about any new development in an existing neighborhood. Does it become an island or is it woven into the fabric of the neighborhood? That's an open question still about this development. My concern is that this becomes an island of entertainment, sports, nightlife, but it doesn't have much relevance for the neighborhoods that extend around it. On the other hand, sometimes a neighborhood needs a tentpole development that will hold up a larger structure of neighborhood life that will grow in around it. That's the hope, not the guarantee.
If you'd like to learn more about the history of downtown L.A., DJ Waldy's latest book is called Where We Are Now, Notes from Los Angeles. Now we check in with Jeff Platt to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thank you, Tom. Real quick, couple stories featured covering birth control and an LAPD officer recognition ceremony. Reminding you, you can always watch us on the web at atvn.org. Thanks, Tom.
And be sure to keep clicking right here at annenbergradio.org. Hannah Ingber-Wynn's report on the fight against sickle cell disease is available now on our website. Looking at Los Angeles weather, it should be clear tonight with lows around 57 degrees. Tomorrow brings sunny skies with highs of about 80 degrees. The weekend also looks nice and clear. Perfect weather to enjoy some stargazing on Saturday night for Lights Out LA. That's our show for Thursday, October 18th. For everyone here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Tom Sparks. Have a great weekend.